Thank you, Jose. As usual, when I have this opportunity to stand before you, I have a ton of thoughts on my mind, you know. And I'm always concerned that I won't be able to communicate them in a way that makes any sense at all. So we'll give it a try. Before I get started, as most of you know, I have gotten, so I quote-unquote read, I listen to books I can download on my phone. And the only good thing about going deaf is that my hearing aids are piped right to my phone. So I can wander around and my wife is talking to me and I'm nodding at her. And really, I'm listening to a book. And it works pretty well. She catches on after a while, though. And then I'm in trouble. But it is nice when I'm doing stuff or I'm driving, I can listen to these books. And most of the books, nearly all the books I listen to are management, leadership type books. And most of them are fairly popular, modern, kind of cutting edge, that are recommended to me by first one person or another. And I'm listening to one right now that's got a funny name, and it's What Got You Here Won't Get You There is the name of it. And it's really for corporate executives, people who have been or are successful in life when it comes to their career. And the gentleman who wrote the book is a coach. And he coaches CEOs and CFOs of multi-billion dollar corporations all over the world. And so, obviously, he's good at what he does. And his coaching typically takes 12 to 18 months. And what the book really is about is so funny, and that's my point here, is that book and probably a half a dozen other books I've listened to in the last year incorporate the very, very basic principles of the gospel. Honesty, integrity. And a lot of the premise of this guy's book is how to change. How to change. And what's the first thing that he recommends or makes his people do once they say, yes, I'm willing to change? They have to ask forgiveness to the people around them, to their peers, to their subordinates. And then enlist their help to continue the change over this course, you know. And he privately polls all these people that are around them and scores them. And then at the end of 12 months or 6 months, he does it again. And 12 months, he does it again to see if you're truly making progress. And I find that so interesting that these guys who have more degrees behind their name, lots of letters behind their name, all this psychology and education boiled down to the very basic human characteristics that the Lord says we need to possess. Put others first, yourself second. Truly care about what the people around you need and not just yourself. Don't step on people on the corporate ladder on the way up, you know. Just the very basic principles of the gospel. I'm just amazed at that. Maybe you're not. Maybe you already knew that. But I labeled this sermon tonight, Life Lessons. There's nothing new really going on here this evening. I'm going to ask some questions. And so if I call upon you, it's not a trick question. It's just, I'm just wanting your input. And I'm going to pick on these guys in the front row a little bit because I know they're young and intelligent and full of good information, cutting edge education. Do you know how many, Logan loves me because I always pick on him first. I'm cheating is why I'm looking at my phone. Do you know how many millionaires are in the world?
Million.
A million? How about 46.8 million? There's a lot of millionaires out there in the world. A lot of money floating around. And those collective 46.8 million millionaires control about $160 trillion between them. So, you know, there's a pretty large chunk of the world's wealth being controlled by a reasonably small number of people, just 46 million. How many people are there in the world, Logan?
Like 7 billion?
Hmm?
Just under 8, 7.6,
7.7, depending on where you look. I'm sure they have a difficult time counting some of the people. Places that we go do missionary work, I'm guessing they're not answering their census letter. And throughout the world, third world countries, it's hard to say. I'm going to get off track here. Imagine that. Right off the bat. And I'm gonna don't look. And I wanna look at something right there. Can you see that? And this I found to be interesting. Birth to death rate. 131 million births. To 55 million deaths in a year. So we're over double the amount that we're adding to the population. We're not doubling the population, but we're doubling the amount. In other words, there's only 50 million people dying for 100 million being born every year. And then it goes on to, you know, days, you know, there's 360,000 births a day. And this is really not necessarily what my sermon's about this evening, but I just wanted to bring a few of these points up as we get started to think about how large the world is, how large a task the Lord set before us, and how do we fit into it. Sometimes I feel like as a Church of Christ, and again, I'm going to go off my planned script here. I feel like we as a Church of Christ somehow don't believe that we can be that Nephi. That we can be Moses, you or I. That we could be a leader of God's people that would influence the masses, not just a few. And I don't think that we can be that leader by getting a good education. I don't think we can be that leader by wanting to be that leader. I think we can be that leader by desiring certain things the Lord has asked us to do, and humility and meekness and a willingness to separate ourselves from the world. Let's start here, and I'll try and incorporate this into what I'm talking about. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and it says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God, which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him, and in all utterance, and in all knowledge, even as a testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you might think to yourself, this is kind of a strange place to start. But, you know, obviously the Apostle Paul was writing a letter to the Corinthians and he's making some statements to them. First of all, I'm thankful to my God always on your behalf. in these few little sets of verses, I have three groups. I'm asking you to get out of that, what is the life lesson? What is the life lesson? That in everything ye are enriched by Him. Little flag should be going up right now. Are you? In everything are you enriched by your knowledge of the gospel, by your relationship with Jesus Christ? I hope so. I got to be honest with you. I don't necessarily think we always feel that way. I feel like sometimes we feel like we're burdened down. We're just stuck. It has to do with how we look at life and how we look at our relationship with Jesus Christ. Even as a testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. I hope there's a testimony of Christ confirmed in you. So that you come behind in no gift. We should be, and hopefully are, the recipients of God's good gifts. I can't tell you how often I'm wandering in the woods. I'm looking around. I'm at my little sawmill up in the woods. The other day I was sitting up there and there was snow on the ground and mud everywhere on me, on the trailer, on the truck. And I thought, you know, before I leave, I just want to sit here for a minute. Been working all day by myself. And I just want to sit down and just listen and just speak to the Lord. And it was perfectly still, not a breeze blowing. What's this 2020? It's 2020, isn't it? My poor old truck's 21 years old, and it looks it. It's had a hard life. Nothing really in my life is pristine. But as I look around, thank you, my throat is suffering already. As I look around, sitting on my trailer there and looking at some logs and some snow, and there's only one thing I can say. God is good. God is good in every aspect of my life. I go to work, I got problems, I got difficulties, I got challenges. Pretty large ones, to be honest with you. I really like my new job, but at the end of the day, the buck stops here. There's no one upstream to blame. When we don't meet a schedule, we were supposed to pour 300 yards of concrete last week, we only poured 200. The buck stops here. I should bill somewhere around $2 million a month. The buck stops here if that doesn't happen. The weight squarely right here on my shoulders. I sit in my office at 10, 11, 12 hours into the day, and there's only one thing I can say. I love it. God is good. God is good. I look at my family. I come home and get out of my truck, and I hear something, not very well, but I hear it. Papa, Papa. God is good. It's awesome. Are you a recipient of God's rich blessing? In this very scripture here, that in everything you are enriched by Him. You know how many $1 million I have? You guessed it. Zero. You know how many $1 million I'm going to leave my kids and grandkids? Sorry, Logan. Zero. Okay. But hopefully I can leave them something that's more valuable than that. a legacy, a belief in God's rich blessing. Bad news, gentlemen. This is slide number 3. We got a lot to go. We better hurry up. Who shall confirm, verse 8, and it says, who shall confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day that of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye are called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Do we feel that? Do you feel like you're called to his fellowship? Or do we just come here week after week, warm our spot in the pew? Someone corners us, it's like, yeah, I feel like I'm blessed. But are you energized? Are you excited? Are you thrilled to be a part of God's kingdom? Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jew a stumbling block, and unto the Greek foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jew and Greek, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. Gage, are you pretty strong? Be honest. How much can you bench press? 20 pounds, 40 pounds, 100 pounds, 500 pounds? Huh?
The bar.
The bar.